1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 40. Here we reach the climax of Carmel. And what is it? Well, it's quite clear what it is. Slaughter. Slaughter. Then Elijah commanded them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Don't let anyone get away." They seized them. And Elijah had them brought down to the Kishon Valley and slaughtered them there. 1 Kings 18 verse 40. Now let me make this very clear to you. I'm not here to apologize. That's the first thing I want to say. But nor am I here to run like a bull in a china shop. Here we must be very clear and very careful and nuanced and understand the Bible and understand where we are. We are right in the old covenant here, but we are living today in the time of the new covenant. Now let me say what I mean here. First of all, no apology. You see, in the time of the old covenant, under the law, read it in Deuteronomy 13, 17 and 18, read those chapters and other places too. The law is explicit. False prophets must be removed from the people. And this means slaughter. Now, I'm not here to apologize for that. You see, a lot of sentimental gush is talked about this. What are false prophets, what are false teachers doing? They're deceiving the people. Well, does that matter? Eternal issues hang upon it, my friend. Eternal issues, and God's glory is bound up in it. God is jealous for his glory, and rightly so. And Israel had to be a separated people. So if they mingled with the nations and copied the world and took their gods, then this was an offense to the Lord God himself, the highest offense. And Israel had to purge out from among itself the false teachers because of the damage it was doing to Israel, because of the way it was not a witness in the world, and because of the glory of God being diminished. Now we come to the new covenant. Now, what do I say now? Things are even more serious now, my friend. Did you hear that? Things are even more serious now. Now let us see where we are here. The fire has fallen. It has not fallen upon Israel, has it? It's fallen upon the sacrifice. God in his mercy did not send the fire upon Israel, nor did he destroy the false prophets himself. Israel had to do that. But the fire did not fall upon Israel. In God's mercy he spared them. It fell upon the sacrifice. And they confessed the name of the Lord, verse 39. But confession is not enough. Action must come in, verse 40. It's the old story. It's faith and works. Romans 3 and James 2. Romans 4 and James 2. It's Hebrews 11. These were this believed, and they showed their believing by their action. It is trust and obey, faith and works. That's the word for us, brother and sister. It's not just simply confessing with the mouth. It's acknowledging in the lips, that's true. But it's going in living for Christ. But what about false teaching and false preaching in the new covenant? The Bible is full of it. Christ is full of it. The apostles are full of it. Page after page, passage after passage, we get of Christ dealing with this. Have you never read Matthew 23? Have you never read Timothy 1, Timothy 2, the two letters? Have you never read 1 John? Have you never read these passages? They speak of false teachers and what to do with it. False teaching and what to do with it. What we're talking about here, my friend, in the new covenant, is false teaching. Now, let me distinguish here. I'm not talking about false religion, Muslim, Islam, and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about professing believers, those who name the name of Christ, Rome, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormonism, even closer to home, the commercial marketers of Christ today, those who are selling Christ, the fun merchants in the name of Christ, the entertainment preachers, the boring lecturers. I'm talking about that, my friend. Oh, you're being very severe. No, my friend, we're talking about eternal issues. If the gospel is not preached, if it's not the gospel and it's not preached, in the power of the Spirit? What's happening to the souls of men? We're talking about eternal issues. Take infant baptism. That's not just a nice debate. It's not just an interesting theory and a discussion. Millions are deceived and damned because they trust in infant baptism and have no saving faith in Christ. These are not trivial issues. What is the believer to do? Well, read the letters of John. Read 2 Timothy. Read Romans 16, verses 17 to 18. Read Galatians 1, 6 to 9. Titus 1, 9 to 11. Read Revelation 2 and 3. And what do you see? We have to deal with false teaching and false teachers within the church. Does this mean we exterminate them? No. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 to 6. The weapons of our warfare are spiritual, not carnal. 1 Corinthians 5. There's excommunication. There's avoiding them. There's cutting them out. There's not listening to them. Read 2 Timothy and read 1 Timothy and see these passages. We're not talking of sentimental niceties. Eternal danger is at stake here. Eternal issues. Heaven and hell are at stake here. The souls of men forever. We don't want a dumbed down, marketed, fun-raising, happy-clappy sort of nonsense, frothy gospel so-called. I'm talking, I believe, the application should be to the church life, the corporate life, the ecclesia. I'm speaking to the church elders and preachers and church members. I'm speaking to believers individually. I'm speaking to myself. I'm speaking inwardly and outwardly. Error is not fun. When I was a young believer, I was invited by some young people to go to a house to, because they'd invited a Mormon, I think it was, to come. And I spoiled the evening for them because I tackled the Mormon. These young people just wanted sport with him. They thought it was a game. Don't dabble with it. 2 Corinthians 6 and 7. Come out from among them and be separate. Saints need to be warned here. We mustn't tamper with those who play with the gospel. Error is not fun. But things are far more severe in the New Testament than the Old. Let me make that point. In the Old Testament, they slaughtered the body. They put them to the sword. Read Matthew 10:28. And what does Christ say? Don't fear him who has the power to touch the body. Kill the body. Fear him who has the power to cast into everlasting hell. In other words, it's eternal judgment. It's God's judgment. But these things must be faced. The church must come to terms with this. Error must be dealt with. False teachers must be put out. We mustn't listen to them. We mustn't encourage them. And individually too, in our own lives. Ephesians 4 to 6, read that. We must get rid of, we must put to death, we must stand against, we must resist. These are the words. We must get rid of, we must stand against. Now these are words for the believer. Christ said more about this than any teacher. And I would say all of it, let's say most of it, but I think it's all of it that he said is directed not to the people outside, not to the sinner outside, but to the professing believer. These are the serious things. These things apply to us, brother and sister. Israel had to do this physically and outwardly. We have to do it spiritually. But we have to deal with false teaching. We have to deal with error. And we have to deal with it corporately and in our lives individually. But I will have a word with the unbeliever before I close. Don't you see, my friend, how serious this is? This is not a menu that you can pick and choose from. Christ says, I am the only way. There is no other way. There is no other salvation. The Bible makes this clear. This is the claim of Christ. It's not just a bit intolerant. It's not just a bit exclusive. It is entirely intolerant, entirely exclusive. Unless you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have him as your Lord and Savior, you will perish by the hand of God. Learn from Carmel. Slaughter. There is a day coming when you will stand before God naked, and then everlasting state follows from that. Will it be everlasting bliss or will it be everlasting torment? What can you do? Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ now and cry out, and come to him. Have your sins washed away, and have the Spirit within you to live to the glory of God, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, all by faith, showing in action afterwards. These are very serious words. I have not tried to apologize. I've tried to be careful. We do not take the sword. Our weapons are spiritual, but they are weapons to be used. Church discipline, self-discipline, godly discipline. We want a pure church. We want a pure life for Christ. And the gospel does count for the glory of God above all, for the saving of sinners, and for the edification of the saints, the sanctifying of the saints. May God bless this serious word. This is not a joke. This is not something just to debate. This is an action is called for. And as Churchill used to say in the war, action this day. May God bless this little word, this little discourse. May it do good and travel far, all for the glory of God. Amen.